Climate change
is an existential threat, and human beings are at fault. Surveys of the scientific literature reveal that around 97% of climate scientists endorse the claim that humans are causing climate change. But according to the Yale Program for Climate Change Communication, as of 2020, only 57% of American adults believe climate change is, quote, mostly caused by human activities. That's 97% of climate scientists, but only 57% of American adults. That 40% difference spotlights an urgent issue in our society. We're struggling to communicate about climate change. And it's not just scientists. Politics and the magnitude of the threat have imbued conversations about climate change with controversy and dread. So, how do we have productive conversations about climate change? Nick Ogasa has the story.
If all of the trusted sources of information in your life tell you the same thing, you go along.
That's Richard Alley, a glaciologist at Penn State. Richard is a prolific climate scientist and science communicator. I reached out to see what he thinks we can do to better communicate about climate change.
Part of it is diversifying the pool of communicators.
Richard authored a book called Earth, the Operator's Manual, which became a PBS television series that tried to inform the public about climate change.
Our approach, I discussed the science, and then when we got to, is it a problem? We switched to a rear admiral in his dress whites who said it was a problem. And when we got to, are there solutions? We had Marines saving their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan by using renewable energy so they didn't have to take fuel convoys across a country where people might try to blow them up. We had Texas ranchers.
Because this work was funded by the NSF, Richard and his colleagues had to assess whether their messaging was effective in different demographics. So I asked him, was it effective?
So when this is shown to the focus group in Texas, they said, maybe there's something to this. And that's really what came out of it.
But when it comes to talking about climate change, it's not just who is speaking, but how they say it that matters.
Climate change, both fictionally and documentarily, is sort of posed as this existential threat, this thing that no individual can stand up against.
That's John Azoksut, digital director at the Yale Program for Climate Change Communication, or the YPCCC. John and his colleagues are experts on speaking about climate change to the public.
You have to do the work to bring it back down to something that, like, we have the power to do.
In a 2019 study published in Frontiers in Communication, researchers from Yale and other universities conducted two national surveys to gauge the public's hope regarding climate change. Their findings indicated that people with hope, those who believe that we are making progress in developing solutions, were more likely to support climate-friendly policy and activism. The study suggested that communicators could combine realistic descriptions of climate-induced threats with a focus on progress and solutions to call people to action.
Fundamentally, you don't need to be a climate scientist to understand the five facts that everybody needs to understand about climate change, which is just that climate change is real. Number two, climate change is man-made. It's us. Number three, climate change is bad. Fact number four is that there is strong, strong scientific consensus about this. But fact number five is that we have the power to do something about it. Losing that perspective can make it very easy to decide, like, well, this is something that I can't do anything about, so I'm being let down, so I'm going to disengage.
So we need to focus on solutions when we talk about climate change to keep people from giving up. But we can also pull people into the conversation by relating issues to their daily lives.
To give one example, I don't know if you've ever been to Texas, but the state flower is the bluebonnet. And we had a radio story about how climate change meant that bluebonnets were blooming earlier and earlier in the year, and it means that they're susceptible to deep freezes. And that story did incredibly well with conservatives in Texas, which was wild to me at a glance, but so much of Texas is highways. And bluebonnets line every highway in the state. And it is one of your key visual cues that when you're driving around, hey, I'm in Texas. Right? And so it is actually like a point of pride for folks who are living there.
So up until now, we've talked about how scientists and science communicators can use trusted sources and relatable issues to talk about climate change with dismissive or doubtful groups. But climate change affects all of us, meaning we all need to have a voice in the conversation. The YPCCC breaks the American population down into six groups, ranging from those who are alarmed about climate change to those who are dismissive about it. And somewhere in the middle is the group John calls the disengaged. According to John, these disengaged individuals are the low-hanging fruit to target when talking about climate change.
Ask yourself, like, which of my friends are disengaged on climate change? Just like, don't think about it at all. You've probably come up with the answer of, I don't know, because I don't talk to them about it. And so, you know, there is a little bit of figuring this out and finding a space to speak to it, but there may be folks in your life who just have never really sat with climate change as a concept and don't really think about like what it means for them.
So to recap, when talking about climate change, it's important that we diversify the voices in the conversation and focus on solutions and relatable issues. And it's not just the people who are doubtful about our impact on the climate that we need to talk to. We also need to engage the people who aren't really thinking about it. With all of that in mind, I'll leave you now with one final message from John.
The most fruitful conversations about climate change are had person to person, and they're not handed down the mountain from Yale on their ivory tower to, you know, your uncle. It's you who's got to have that conversation.